altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and purify yourselves, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which they had, and the rings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was near Shechem. And they journeyed there was a great terror upon, and as they journeyed, there was a great terror upon the cities which were around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the oak. It is called Alon Bakath. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram, and he blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. Thus he called him Israel. God also said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. And the land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you. And I will give the land to your descendants after you. Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a libation on it. He also poured oil on it. So Jacob named the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth, and she suffered severe labor. And it came about when she was in severe labor that the midwife said to her, do not fear, for now you have another son. And it came about as her soul was departing, for she died, that she named him Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a pillar over her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave, to this day. Then Israel journeyed on and pitched his tent near the Tower of Eder. And it came about while Israel was dwelling in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Now there were 12 sons of Jacob, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, then Simeon and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin, the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maid, Dan and Naphtali, the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Paddan Aram. And Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre of Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had sojourned. The days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people, an old man of ripe age, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Amen. So on chapter 35, remember what happened in chapter 34, the treachery of Jacob's sons, and a lot of turmoil is going on now in this place. And so God does something, and which I think, I mean, we talked about a little while ago, so it's quite good to mention again. He moves away, and then he goes back to the place of meeting. He goes back, and this is the word, arise, go up to Bethel. This is a very common command of God when God wants them to move locations. But more than that, it's dealing with not necessarily moving locations physically, but more so moving locations spiritually. And so yesterday I mentioned that in a lot of chapter 34, we see Jacob's silence in matters of his sons, Jacob's silence in the matter of his daughter that's hanging out with pagans in a certain way that kind of gets her in this whole mess to begin with. And the father is kind of absent in this whole thing. And now he's finally stepping into really what he should be doing from way back in the beginning. In a way, Jacob, in his time in Canaan, kind of lost his way. And so the Lord tells him, arise, go up to Bethel and live there. Make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. And so God is directing Jacob not just to move location physically, but really he's calling him back to that place of promise. It's interesting a lot of times when you go through a difficult time in your life, and you end up making these promises to God. Now, we've all done it, okay? You know, God, if you give me this job, I'm going to do this. God, if you let me be married or let me have a kid, or, you know, it could be, let me get into this college, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we start making these commitments to God. Well, God never forgot these commitments. Here Jacob is makes this solemn commitment to the Lord. Lord, if, you know, just bless me, just make sure my brother doesn't kill me and whatnot. And then he settles into a time of peace and prosperity physically, materially, but spiritually he wanes. And it becomes very difficult. And the result is a lot of bad things happen in his family. And then now he's called back into that place. This is a very common pattern among even modern Christians. We have difficulty, we cry out to God, right? God, please! And then when everything is cool, when we are experiencing financial uplifting, or, you know, other things that are happening, a lot of times in our sinful nature, we forget about God. That's why I really reject this teaching that's been going around these days that says we don't have a sinful nature. That's just full of such crap, man. We are so sinful. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And if you're not aware of that sinfulness in your life, man, it could lead you into all kinds of trouble. And that's precisely, you know, what happens here. And so he goes, and Jacob very knows what God is saying to him. You know, hey, Jacob, go back to Bethel. Go back to that place where you're with God, where you experienced God. Go back to that place where everything was good, where you saw the hand of God working on your life. You experienced a lot of blessing in Canaan, but that blessing in many ways has turned into a curse. And we see this in our modern time. And so Jacob goes, and so this is why I know he understood what God was saying. Look at the next verse. Jacob says to his household and to all with him, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and purify yourselves and change your garments. Now, that wasn't really part of God's command, but Jacob knew very much what God was saying. Arise, lift up your eyes, go back to Bethel. Go back to that place where you met with God. And so Jacob understands it's a call to repentance. Our theme this year, reboot, you know, the idea of going back, read the verse in Jeremiah, follow the ancient paths, stand in that way, it's really in many ways a call to repentance. It's a call to go back to these things. It's Revelation chapter 2, or chapter 3, when God's speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he's saying, go back to your first love. It's the book of Acts, when he tells us, repent and return, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It's this call to go back to what you were doing right before. Go back to that moment of God. Go back to where you experienced God. Go back to your promise. Go back to your covenant, your commitment to the Lord. And so Jacob very well knows what he's saying. So he goes back to his family. Hey, we've messed up. We've let foreign gods come into our home. Some scholars believe that at this time they had collected quite a few Mesopotamian servants, and they brought with them their idolatry. And it's your servants, but you are still, you know, I don't want to say the king of the house, but you are still responsible for your house. And Jacob didn't do anything. And, I mean, who knows? It could have been idolatry begin to infiltrate their family, or their lax, and, you know, the sons, whatever it may be. But they had fallen away. And now they have brought in idolatry into into Jacob's house, and he says, "Be done with this thing." He goes even a further step, and he says, "Purify yourselves," and then he says, "Change your garments." This would be in Mosaic law. I mean, this is coming before the law of Moses, but in Mosaic law, they'll even mention, even if your garments touch something that's idolatrous, you should get rid of these things. And we see Jacob now goes to the forefront, and he tells him to take a whole nother step, not just get rid of these things, but even anything that's come in contact with these idols, you are to get rid of this stuff. And Jacob is bringing his house back in order. He's bringing his house back to the covenant commitment. He's bringing his house back to what God had intended for the house of Jacob. You have to be very clear that there are going to be times in our life that we're going to lose our way in a manner of speaking. There's going to be moments, and it may not necessarily be related to sin per se, but it could be simple compromise. And it takes us away from what God had intended for our lives to become. There's a purpose of God in our lives, and the enemy is going to try to do everything he can to take us out of that path. And there's going to be times of repentance. There's going to be times where we clean up house in this regard. And that's precisely what Jacob is doing. So he goes, and so he moves his family. He goes up to Bethel. He makes an altar. Bethel, in our modern, I'll just use a modern day. Bethel is really roughly about 20, maybe 30 miles away from Shechem. That's here, but it's an ascent, and so these guys actually have to go through this land. And what does God do? God protects them in the midst of this. The verse 5 is, as they journeyed, there was great terror upon the cities which were around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Remember, Levi, and his brother went and Simeon, man, they slaughtered every male of this town. Can you imagine? And the siblings, the cousins and family, surely as a blood oath would go after them. But God caused such a confusion, a terror around them that they didn't even pursue them. And so even in the midst of this, God is continuous to remain faithful. And remember, in Paul writes to his spiritual son, Timothy, he says, "Timothy, even when we're faithless, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Isn't that great? Another way of saying is, even when we blow it, even when we mess up, even when we lose our way, God continues to remain faithful. What a incredible blessing of God, right? That's him now. It's nothing to do with us, but God, he cannot deny himself. God is forever faithful. Now, blessings will flow to those who are righteous, but his faithfulness, right, continues on, to everyone. And so we see that he protects him. He sanctifies the place. Now, the Canaanites, they now have inhabited this land of Bethel, and they called it Luz. But he goes back, he builds an altar there, just like he did, I think, in 28 and then in 31, back at Bethel. And now he calls this the house, the God of Bethel. So he reconsecrates that land and says, this land, even though now they call it Luz and all these things, this land belongs to God. It's the God who revealed himself to him, and he's the God of Bethel. And so what happens when there's repentance? What happens when we get our house in order? What happens when we get our act straight and all these things happen? Like I said, the blessings of God comes. The next thing you know, God appears to Jacob shortly after this. He's at Paddan Aram, and this is actually where most of his kids were born. And so he literally is going back to that ancient path. And he's at this place, and then God says to him, and it says, verse 10, God said, "Your name is Jacob. Your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." Remember, Jacob, the whole identity was he was the deceiver. I think going all the way back when he wrestled with God before meeting his brother Esau, he asked the question, you know, what's your name? And he said, my name's Jacob. And now we see kind of coming to full circle. And so instead of asking a question, the angel, now the Lord turns to him and says, now your name is Jacob. Now your name is Israel. Israel, the term meaning is God strives. Because really, this is a really good bookend to the other one. Because remember, Jacob was the one that was striving with God. Do you remember that whole scene, you know, as he wrestled? And now he changes his name. He totally flips he redeems that whole episode. And it's no longer the man who strives with God. It's God who strives for man. It's no longer you fighting God or wrestling. Now God is wrestling on your behalf. That's his name, Israel. God strives now. And so he's working overtime, protecting and all these things. And then he continues on the covenant that was made with his grandfather. And he says, I am God Almighty. You'll notice that whenever there's these significant moments in a person's life, God, with the experience, God brings a revelation of who he is. You'll see that all throughout Scripture, that God will give the individual in these significant moments a picture of their character or of their power or, you know, something of their being. And we come to this place and he says, I am God Almighty, the revelation of God. In Hebrew, you'll be very aware of this, is El Shaddai. And he is the Almighty God. And it continues on in the revelation. Now it says, hey, so be fruitful and multiply. Right? We haven't heard this in a long time. Where did this come? Remember all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, where he tells Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And so we see all these connections start happening and going through. You know, a nation, a company of nations shall come from you, kings shall come forth from you, and the land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you. I will give the land to your descendants after you. And then God went up and spoke in the place where he had spoken with him. Pretty amazing. We see God reconfirms the covenant with Jacob in this way, in Israel. And why is this important in this regard? It's important because a lot of times, you know, and God knows who we are very well. A lot of times when we sin and when we lose our way, kind of what happened in Jacob's house, most of us in our flesh, in our humanity, we wonder, don't we? God, do you still accept me? You know, God, do you still love me? You know, God, did I blow it so much now that the promises that you've given me and, you know, my grandfather, my father, did I blow it so much that you no longer, you know, abide by your promise? And you'll notice that a lot of times when repentance happens in the Bible, I mean, something like Hosea, and he calls the Israel to repentance, normally, right, in a normal idea, we should be demoted, right? I mean, that would be, if you're at work, and you work, and you did a really bad job, and your review comes up, mostly, you know, I mean, you're not going to get that bonus. You might even get fired. You may get demoted, lose your position. That's kind of how it operates in the world in many ways. And I think a lot of times we feel like that. But when you see through the scriptures and you see that there's genuine repentance that happens, almost immediately afterwards, God brings a promotion. It's just what God does, right? God is God. He's so amazing. You know, when we deserve punishment, God brings promotion. He changes his name and he says, man, be fruitful, multiply. Yes, don't worry, Jacob. The covenant that I had with your father and your father's father, that covenant is going to be with you. And I know you're worried about your sons because, you know, they did some really bad things. But your sons are also going to get this inheritance. And it's like, I can imagine if I was Jacob, I'd be like, whew, what a relief. You know, God, you're so gracious. God, you're so good. I didn't blow it so much. And this is such a wonderful word for many of us that have made mistakes, are making mistakes. Rest assured that when we come into that place of repentance, and it's really God that's wooing us and drawing us to that place, we haven't lost it. Right, that there may even be a promotion in store for you, because that's how God operates. And we see, I'm gonna cut to the chase. My devotion is going to be a little shorter these days until probably August, because I have to take the kids to school now in the morning. And so I got to rush out of here afterwards. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you're happy about that. I don't know. But just want to let you know. So I'm going to try to scram through it a little bit better. And then Rachel, they're on their journey, and Rachel gives birth, and she passes away. And and this is, just think in this context, right? The enemy, remember in Joseph's case, the enemy planned for evil, but God turns it to good. Now, obviously, a son is not an evil thing, but she names him. This is a really great passage. She names him, and the name, as she's dying, as she's her last breath, names him Benoni. The word here means son. You know, Ben is son. Son of my sorrow. That's what she's going to name her kid. I mean, what kind of crazy name is that? I guarantee none of you are going to name your kids Benoni, right? You know, son of my sorrow. He's a curse, you know, kind of thing. And instead, and so what does Jacob do? No. He's the son of my right hand. And that's what the name Benjamin means. And so he's totally changed from son of my sorrow, you know, oh, I'm dying, okay, you know, son of my sorrow, and totally flips it around and says, no, he's the son of my right hand. And he's born in Bethlehem. We see now, obviously, Jesus and this whole thing, he comes from the tribe of Benjamin. I'll just give you this one quick illustration. Even the cross, right? What the enemy planned for evil, God totally turns that for good. The whole picture of the cross, it was a curse. Even the scriptures, the psalm tells us, cursed is the man who hangs on the tree. And it is, but what the enemy, you know, kind of tried to bring evil upon, God totally flips it around. And this is really kind of a nod, a precursor coming to about Jesus, right? The Benjamin, son of sorrow. No, he's the son of my right hand. And eventually, the right hand of God actually comes forth from this man, Benjamin. I'm talking about Jesus. Pretty amazing story. The rest of it, he just does a summary. You know, obviously, at the end of 28 and 29, he's talking about his death. He doesn't die until much after Joseph is revealed. So we have a whole many, many chapters going forth. And so, but this is just a summary statement to get into other things. Just one thing real quick. In verse 22, Reuben goes and lays with his father's concubine. I mean, this is evil that happens. But you didn't really hear anything about it, but it comes later on. I believe in Genesis 49, when Israel is going to go to, you know, to be with the Lord, he prophesies over his sons, and his son Reuben gets shafted because of what he's done. You know, sins follow. Right, it seemingly, you know, it looks like he got away with something. You never get away with anything. And so kind of just, you know, keeping that in mind. So let's close our eyes today. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And as a by way of devotion, I just want to focus a little bit on this idea of cleaning house and getting our family in order, your house in order. you know, we lose our way. I mean, it's our sinful nature. It's our humanness in that regard. And there are moments that God calls us to clean house. Now, some of us, when we have cleaned house, there's this lie, that the enemy lays in our heart that says, you know, it's over for you. Give up. You're never going to go back to that place. And you know what? That's true. In one sense, you're never going to go to that place. God's going to take you to a better place. And so, and if you're here in this room today or listening online, and you recognize that you have to get your house in order, you've lost your way in some way, and then maybe you're repented and you're thinking, God, do you still love me? Or the promise is still there? And listen to the word of the Lord. Yeah. In fact, promotion is made ready available. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today, that we can just meditate and focus on the goodness and the faithfulness of God through His Son, Jesus the Christ.
Go there with you.
Let's pray this morning. Pray for yourself, or if it doesn't really pertain to you, pray for others around you. And pray that we would have our house in order before the Lord. Pray the prayer of David in Psalm 139. Search me and try me, O God, and see if there be any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Now maybe your house is in order, you know, and maybe you've been really thinking and maybe feeling down and saying, God, you know, I messed up so royally. You know, will I ever be used by you? Or, you know, all these different thoughts that the enemy places in. Quiet those thoughts and say, yeah, God's going to use me. The promises of God are yes and amen. It's not by my faithfulness, but by His. And just spend a moment, you know, wherever you are in that spectrum. Well, let's pray to God. Let's pray for our community. Let's lift up our friends that are battling with cancer and other illnesses. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would touch their hearts and their lives and bring a healing word over their bodies. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that is sick, but also has not given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray that Jesus would reveal Himself to our friends and family members and also heal them of their illnesses. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that is battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to bring healing into their lives. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters that are looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision in their life, and the Lord would really provide. Let's lift up. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Northeast Asia now. Let's pray for North Korea. Pray for Chris and our community out there, his community. Continue to pray for Kenneth Bae, who has been in prison for quite a bit of time now there at NK. Pray for his release. Pray for South Korea as well. Bless our brothers and sisters that have been meeting every month. And hopefully a future church plant there in Seoul. Also pray for Japan. Pray for Pastor Mitsunobu, his church in Kobe. And then pray for Pastor Sophia as well, as she's planning on making her way to Japan this year. And so let's lift up Northeast Asia. Let's ask for God's hand upon these countries and just the Spirit of God to rule in these places. Let's pray for our ministries. Let's pray for intercessory prayer. Pray for Matt and all the other volunteers and leaders. Pray for The Well. Ricky is the leader there in Cascade with Rachel and Leanne. Let's pray that the Lord would guide them, give them wisdom, protection as well. These are our frontline warriors, especially when it comes to spiritual warfare. And let's cover them well. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministries. Pray for a little leadership shifting that's taking place. Tyler is going to step up with Sandro as a men's leader and the women's leader with Bonnie and hopefully others. Let's pray for a real vision for this year. Pray for Holy Spirit to really lead these ministries, to help our church to disciple men and women, to make them more like Jesus. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight for Soho and Harborside. Let's pray Holy Spirit will just really lead and guide our time tonight. Let's pray. And lastly, let's pray for SP Lights. They have their outreach tonight. Let's pray for Rainey, the other leaders, Joyce and Angie. Let's pray God would really use them to bring many people that are working in the sex trade here in Hong Kong to His light. Let's just ask for protection. I know it's quite cold today as well. Let's pray that the Lord would keep all these volunteers warm as they roam and pray through the streets. Let's pray for them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you that you never give up on us, God. Lord, many times when we deserve punishment, God, Lord, you bring promotion instead. And so we just thank you for the example of Jacob's life, God. And Lord, when we get our house in order, God, when we repent, Lord, only good things can come from that, Father. And so I pray that you teach us to live repentant lives, Lord, before you. And so thank you, God. Watch over us today, God, as we seek to glorify Jesus in all that we do. We pray for that strength, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you guys tomorrow.